Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McHale. Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back one of the three main Democrats running for mayor of Providence, Jorge Alorza. Thank you for joining us, Jorge.
Good morning, Ian. Thank you for having me.
We're going to start with a couple of questions for our guest, Jorge Alorza. We're less than 3 weeks away from the September 9th primary. Why are you the best candidate to win this Democratic primary for mayor?
Well, I'm the only candidate in this race that feels just as comfortable talking to kids in the toughest neighborhood in the city as I feel talking to my colleagues on the board of the Rhode Island Foundation. And it's about bringing a coalition together that's going to win not just in September, but make it very difficult, if not impossible, for Buddy Cianci to come back into City Hall. We have a positive message. It's resonating in every neighborhood. We're going to create jobs, turn our schools around, and change the culture at City Hall. So I'm excited to do that, and I'm excited to continue spreading my message.
What do you do to get tax relief for businesses and property owners that are plagued by high taxes in Providence?
Yeah, so, you know, the tax burden is so severe here in the city. You know, people are taxed out. And if you look at the Providence budget, it's a very, very lean budget. The only way we're going to get out of the fiscal crisis that we still find ourselves in is by growing the tax base. And that's why I have an aggressive economic development policy where we're going to create 1,500 jobs over the next 5 years in the Providence port. Also, we're going to support small businesses at City Hall, and we're going to do everything we can to retain our talented young graduates that are the entrepreneurs, they're the workforce of the future, and that's the only way we're going to turn around the economy.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm wondering why you think being mayor is an entry-level job. You've never been elected to anything. And how are you going to defeat Buddy Cianci?
Yeah. So I've been a judge here in the city for, you know, the past 4 years.
Well, I a judge against a criminal, years. That could be an interesting campaign trope.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, a lot of folks don't know, but I'm actually an accountant. And I've worked for one of the largest accounting firms in the world, PricewaterhouseCoopers. I'm also an attorney. I've practiced here. I've taught here. And I've, as I mentioned, I've worked as a judge. I have the skills that it takes to get the job done. I have the experience to be ready on day one. And I'm going to surround myself by an administration that's the talented that Providence is most talented that Providence has ever seen, because, you know, we have serious challenges here in the city. You have to surround yourself by folks who complement your skills. I've done that from the beginning of my campaign. Folks like Marie Langlois, co-chairs of my campaign. We're going to continue to surround ourselves by folks like that throughout the administration.
Let's go to Maureen.
After we see these polls, one of the things that's fairly obvious now is the race is going to come down to turnout. That's the big question. How's your ground game? What are you doing? And are you, in fact, coordinating any of this with Mayor Tavares?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my money has that I've raised in the campaign has been invested most heavily in the ground game. It's about getting the vote out. So we have a huge ground team. You know, we have volunteers, we have staff, and they're out there every day knocking on doors. They're making calls, IDing voters. And then we have a massive operation that's planned for September 9th. So we're going to be, you know, getting folks out to the polls and making sure we have high turnout. In terms of Angel's campaign, so he and I have been in touch about as much as I believe he's been in touch with all of the other campaigns. You know, there's no formal coordination, but I think that, you know, it's understood that he will also be looking to push the vote as much as possible. And if we benefit from that, then, you know, I'm certainly not complaining.
Poll released this week by Channel 12 and the Providence Journal shows Gina Raimondo with a 5-point lead over Providence Mayor Angel Tavares in the Democratic gubernatorial race. Clay Pell is 1 point behind Tavares. 13% of voters are undecided, and the margin of error is just under 5%. So it means it's pretty close to a virtual tie between Tavares and Raimondo. Scott, what do you think will make the difference in this contest?
Well, the ground game, the turnout, I think who has the best last week? Campaigns matter. As we've seen, nobody gave Clay Pell any kind of a chance, say, 3 or 4 months ago. But Rhode Island voters have confounded the experts for many, many years. And I think you're going to see a furious rush to the end, both with the air war on television, but especially now, as Jorge just alluded to, you've got to pull your voters out. If you don't do that, you're not going to win. The other thing is, has Pell peaked yet, or is there still room for growth in his campaign? The poll, the internals on the poll, show really that his favorabilities are not as high as either Tavares or Raimondo. So that's something to watch. Right now, Pell is hurting Tavares among the progressive side of the party.
Maureen, what are your main takeaways from these findings?
Well, I do agree. Turnout is going to be the name of the game. The interesting thing about Pell is when you look at those polls, only 13% of his supporters think that he's actually going to win. And what that usually means is that if you have a candidate that you support, but you don't think they're going to win, you don't vote for someone else, but you do stay home. So it's going to be critical for him.
Liberals, if there's strategic voting going on among liberals, that could help Tavares.
Jorge, this is your first time as a candidate. What do you find most interesting about this Democratic gubernatorial contest?
So I've been following it and watching it just as all of us have in the news and in the media. But I'll tell you, my focus has been the Providence mayor's race. I saw the polls and, you know, I was interested to see them. But as soon as we saw them, it was back to focusing on our race, talking about creating jobs, improving our schools and changing the culture at City Hall. That's been my focus. And I'm going to stay focused until September 9th and then November.
The State Ethics Commission this week decided to look into a complaint against one of the other Democratic candidates for mayor, City Council President Michael Solomon. The complaint says Solomon didn't disclose a $500,000 loan from the Providence Economic Development Partnership to a development group of which Solomon is part. Scott, how big a deal is this?
Well, obviously, the timing is very bad for Mike Solomon to have something come out roughly like 2 weeks before the election. On the other hand, he and his partners did not walk away from this building. They stayed with it, and frankly, the substance of this has yet to be decided. People are upset that he could raise so much money of his own and put his own money into the campaign and yet not make more progress towards paying off this loan. On the other hand, he's been a pretty good city council president, worked very well with the mayor, and this is outstanding. I think it looks to me more sloppiness than anything evil at this point, but we'll see.
We'll have Mike Solomon here next week, so he'll be able to speak for himself then. But Jorge, what do you say about Scott's observation that this looks more like sloppiness than something more egregious?
Well, sloppiness is bad enough, but the truth is that these issues continue to come up and they don't go away. We simply cannot elect a mayor who's under an ethics investigation. We can't go back to the way it was. And then there's also the revelation that he went through bankruptcy back in 95 and his assets were liquidated. And there's the outstanding question of whether or not Wes's Rib House was listed on that federal bankruptcy schedule and the question of why that also wasn't liquidated. So he loaned himself $300,000 to his campaign instead of paying back the citizens of the residents of Providence. So that should be the priority, not his political aspirations. But we just can't go backwards. And you know, between myself and Michael Solomon, there's a very clear choice.
Aren't you laying it on a little bit thick, though, saying not go backwards? I mean, Michael Solomon is not Buddy Cianci. He has not had an ethics-plagued administration as city council president. Are you laying it on a little too thick?
So he's currently under investigation, and we're not going to know the outcome of the investigation until likely after the general election. We can't afford to elect someone that's under this cloud, and so that's very important. I've been a judge and I've been an accountant, and I started off my campaign by taking an ethics pledge. If we want people to invest in this city, they have to have this basic level of trust in their city government, and I certainly offer that.
Let's go to Maureen. What's your take on all this?
My take is that this is unfortunate timing for him. I do think that he has something to answer for in terms of sloppiness. I also think that Jorge is right in the sense that the way this deal was restructured over a long period of time, I mean, he is paying it back, but I mean, he kind of is taking advantage of the system, if you will. On the other hand, I do agree with Ian. I mean, we're not going back to the bad old days. This is unfortunate timing for him, and it may make a difference, but I don't think his credibility is that much diminished.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Thank you.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And Providence Democratic mayoral candidate Jorge Alorza.
Thank you for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at rapr.org.